You may never your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No. Because I'm going to get him.
Welcome to this episode of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We're coming to you live from our radio and television studios located here in beautiful northwest Pennsylvania, where it's a chilly day today. Folks, we broadcast live every weeknight. That's Monday through Friday, of course, every weeknight, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on our flagship network, the Global Star Radio Network, the place to be. And, of course, keep your computer, keep your dial right there on the Global Star Radio Network, the only network you need to listen to, basically. We've got a lot of great programming during the day. We're simulcast on Blog Talk Radio. You can watch us live and, of course, by archive right here on our YouTube channel. Just go to HagmanandHagman.com, and links to each audio and video venue will be right there for your listening and viewing pleasure. That's HagmanandHagman.com. And folks, don't forget, we've got primarily two different websites for the show. HagmanandHagman.com for the show information and to watch and listen to us live and by archive. And of course, for the news show prep, HagmanReport.com, where we have wonderful contributors. And you can be one too if you want to send us an email, and we'll consider your input. I'm Doug Hagman at the helm, fellow investigator, researcher, and, of course, my son, Joe Hagman. Together, we are something I like to call America's premier father-son investigative reporting team, which is the Hagman and Hagman Report. You know, we've got a great show lined up for you tonight. Dr. Michael Lake. Everyone knows and loves Dr. Michael Lake. Kingdom Intelligence Briefing, kingdomintelligencebriefing.com. Dr. Michael Lake is just an incredible author. If you've, I've got to tell you, his books, plural, I should say, are just fantastic. I mean, you talk about an education there are very few books that I will keep and just keep always on my desk. The Shinar Directive is one of them. And I've learned so much from the Shinar Directive. I've quoted extensively on this program from the Shinar Directive. And it serves really as a kingdom intelligence briefing for God's people in the 21st century. Folks, go to kingdomintelligencebriefing.com and read about the Shinar Directive. It's just an amazing work that, I cite from this, from Dr. Michael Lake's work, and I would recommend his book highly.
You can also go to Skywatch TV and watch the numerous interviews Tom Horn has done with Dr. Michael Lake on the book.
Absolutely.
As well as other interviews, whether it be radio or TV interviews, Dr. Lake has done.
And Dr. Lake is no stranger to the Hagman and Hagman Report. He's been on our program before with much fanfare, actually. He's one of the most requested guests to have back, and for good reason, because Again, just read the Shinar Directive for one. It's an incredible read. And you talk about making, at least as far as I'm concerned, making the Bible come alive and making the Word come alive in a perspective that, well, in a perspective that really puts things in context, current events in context. And I can't wait for his next book to come out, scheduled to come out later this year.
The Sharif Imperative.
Yep. Absolutely, man.
It's going to be a fantastic book. And speaking to the audience, we got, see that little stack of mail over there on the desk? That is the latest mail I've opened. And I think out of the 17 letters there, three of them had Dr. Lake's name on them, asking to get him back on the show.
Absolutely. And hence, we've listened to the audience, and of course, we thank the people for writing in, but certainly he's a welcome guest anytime right here on our radio broadcast. Portions of tonight's broadcast brought to you by Whole Tones Live. Folks, have you tried Whole Tones Live yet? If you haven't, do so. Do so. Now is the time, okay? Let me just say this. Now is the time that you need mental clarity, focus, some relaxation, de-stressing, whatever it might be. Michael Turrell is the head of Whole Tones Live. He's a creator of Whole Tones Live. And Whole Tones Live offers you this beautiful array of just wonderful music, whether it's to assist you in your mental clarity or to help you fall asleep at night or to motivate you, whatever the case might be. Michael Turrell has used biblical frequencies in his music to do just that, to give you this upper hand, shall we say, mental acuity. And it's the music is great. My wife loves it. Our studio dog loves it. She responds to it, different frequencies. That's wholetoneslive.com. More on that later. But let's get right to our guest tonight. There's so much going on.
Again, his website,
yes,
KingdomIntelligenceBriefing.com.
Right.
KingdomIntelligenceBriefing.com. You can subscribe to their blog. Just go to the website right on the right-hand side. Enter your email address, and you will receive notifications and by email for new posts.
And
he's got teachings on here that are very great.
Right. And there are several websites that are affiliated with Kingdom Intelligence Briefing, but that's the main hub. So go there, and then you can be... And then you can select your course from there. Dr. Michael Lake, thanks so much for joining us tonight. We really appreciate your gift of time tonight.
Well, Doug and Joe, it's a pleasure to be back with you tonight. And I was listening to your introduction, and you know, it's one of those things you end up being humbled because you sit there and you kind of wonder, who in the world are they talking about? And you realize it's not you, it's what Christ is doing in you. And
and that's a lot of times we get at least I do, you know, sometimes I'm amazed. I look around and I think, what am I doing here? I mean, not in a larger sense, but you know, why this assignment, this earthly assignment? Because certainly I'm not worthy, and I'm not, my aptitude isn't that great for what we're doing. And I think it's all you know, it's an assignment from God, and just being obedient. And it's not us, certainly not us. It's of God. So, you know, praise be His name, indeed. So, but you're a humble guy though, because you're very talented. And just want to say thank you for your works. The Shinar Directive. You know, if I can just start there for a second. That book really changed my perspective on a lot of things about the about Babylon, the son of perdition, God's intervention, Tower of Babel, how everything unfolded during those days. And you really paint the picture of how God reveals the end from the beginning in His Word, and how the conspiratorial view of history is the most biblical one, actually. And many people might be surprised to hear that, but that's true, isn't it? As we see at current events, we go back to that time, and we can see the conspiracy of all conspiracies being laid out right back in the on the plains of Shinar, and really pushing forward through today.
you can't read the Bible without realizing just how much conspiracy is involved in everything, whether you look at what happened under King Saul, King David. I mean, King David even had one of his own sons, Absalom, conspire against him. And so you see all this happening in the Word of God, and somehow there has been a disconnect that we don't think the real world kind of works that way. But, you know, you have to be kind of raised in a closet to think that everything that's happening in the world today is happening by accident. It's impossible. Once you read that book and understand what the elite have been working on for millennia, all of a sudden, everything from the evening news to some of the crazy things politicians seem to be doing, and not only in our country but other countries or the financial districts, it all begins to make sense.
Boy, it certainly does. Yeah, it. I was talking with Joe and Eric the tech here, and it seems to me that there are so many headlines, so much news. We're just being inundated with, I mean, every day. To me, looking back, thinking back 5 years ago, or 10 years ago, I don't know, but we'll just say 5 years ago, the amount of headlines, the amount of information that we would get in one day or one week, it's like today it's in one day. I mean, it's just, there's this massive acceleration of events and things taking place. But that's the way it's supposed to be. As we close in on the end of days, that's true, right? I mean, it's
true. And part of the conspiracy is, you know, you have the truth out there, but then you surround it with a whole herd of other news to camouflage it. And so they try to inundate us many times with things. That's why you have to have discernment. Man, you need to be praying and saying, Holy Spirit, help me connect the dots and help me be able to discern truth from a lie. Because there's more propaganda being purported as news than there is real news many times.
That's very true. Yeah. Yeah. And people need that discernment. We need to pray even harder and more fervently than ever before to really understand what we need to be paying attention to. Kind of like a triage. If you were a first responder and arriving at a mass casualty event, that's kind of how we feel as we go through the news and the headlines and the information. We have to triage what we're seeing, and we need that discernment in order to be effective, and then bring that information to the people. And you do a great job with your Kingdom Intelligence briefings, folks. If you haven't seen those, go to kingdomintelligencebriefing.com or listen to those. All of your briefings are so right on target here. It's incredible. So,
It's a wonderful online ministry and a great tool for people who are looking to further understand the Word of God and to, so many people are out there that listen to the show that don't have churches for homes anymore. They have left the churches due to the churches conforming to the world with different issues. And folks, people like Dr. Lake and his website and his body of work and his teachings, I don't want to say replace the church life, but they do replace the spiritual message that one should hear at church.
A compliment.
Right.
Yeah,
compliment.
Right. Yeah.
We still need the fellowship. We still need our prayer time and Bible studies. But Dr. Lake's site is fantastic for getting in-depth looks at different teachings and different insights as to what the scripture is saying and what God is saying to Dr. Lake as he continues on with his ministry.
That's right. Now, Dr. Lake, as we were prayerfully considering tonight, the discussion, the topics, looking out over the landscape of what we're just talking about, the current events, the news headlines, everything that's really facing us right now, what is on your heart right now? What are you looking at and saying, you know, we really should talk about, to a worldwide audience, we should be talking about this, or at least we should start off talking about this topic. What's on your heart?
You know, where in the world do we start? Do we start with the protesters at the Trump rallies out in California that are actually validating what he said. And you need to understand that's a tactic that the tactics they are using, and I'm amazed at our news media. Remember when the mainstream media, when the Tea Parties were having their protests and their meetings, and so you have these peaceable people just basically, you know, being cordial, and the news media is saying, oh, the whore, did you see the sign that they had? You know? And when they get done with the site, these people clean up, police their own area, make sure everything is cleaner than it was then when they left. Now compare that to what we're seeing in California, and you can actually go back and compare it to when the Nazis begin to take over in Germany and begin to take over the political system. Their brown shirts would go in and get violent in the protest to shut down their opponents.
Yeah.
And so this is a Nazi tactic.
Very much so. And now people will hear that. And anytime you mention Nazi or Hitler in a conversation or in a writing or whatever, you know, people automatically, there's a term for that. I'm not even sure what it is, but people automatically gravitate toward that term and think, oh, this is hyperbole, but it's not. I'm amazed right now at the political atmosphere, what's taking place. I'm amazed at this. People don't see that they're being gamed. They're pawns in a larger game, especially with the Trump, Sanders, Clinton, the whole debacle. And, yeah. You know, I'm amazed too, as well. We're seeing Donald Trump blamed. He was blamed by the mayor of, what was that, San Jose or somewhere out in California for.
Yeah, San Jose.
You know, how dare you come to our city? And basically being blamed for the fallout that was caused by others. It's mind-boggling to me. I mean,
I'm act like a thug to prove that I'm not a thug. That argument does not work.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't. Well, speaking of politics and Donald Trump and the environment here, can we talk about where you see this whole thing going? I had mentioned to my wife, we had to go to the post office and do some things today, and I said, you know, Clinton just today's the California primary, right? I believe.
Yes.
And Clinton is expected to tie that up, and I was thinking back in 1968, that was RFK's moment, I believe, in the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles, and that was his last day as a functional person. And of course, he was shot and died the next day. I mean, I'm looking at these events, and I'm thinking, my goodness, this is worse than 1968. The divide and such. What do you see?
I think part of it, we're seeing the cycle. There is an occultic cycle that we had in the 90s. It was revolution via drugs, sex, and rock and roll. And all of that had an occult theme to it. They were beginning to transform society. And what we're seeing today is all those that were a part of this occult revolution that invaded America during the 60s all grew up. They all got degrees and became respectable, if you will. And so this is the revolution 2.0 of taking it and another step further. That's why it's so intermeshed with the LGBT and all these different things. They're looking for a way to expunge any influence of the God of the Bible out of society, because it's holding back what they want. They keep on telling us they want to be more like, you know, we need to be more like Europe. I don't see anything right now in Europe that I want to identify with. That if you mention conspiracy right now in Europe, they want to send you to a re-educative camp. There are people right now that if you're on Facebook in Europe and you like something that says something bad about the EU, you're being arrested. I don't think I want that.
Sure. No. No, but do you, I mean, I see it coming to this country.
Yeah. Well, the big problem, there's two things that they have got to kind of remove from the consciousness of America: the Word of God and the Constitution. And if they can remove those two things, then they can get what they want done. And, you know, I look at, we have a man running for the presidency that is pushing socialism while we have socialist governments crumbling all around the world.
Yeah.
It's, exactly. It's an experiment. It doesn't work. But
in
it's
Venezuela.
Yeah. It's philosophy takes us away from the word of God. And once socialism, you know, socialism goes into communism and communism will go into Luciferianism. There's this philosophical flow that they try to take you in, and they're trying to really force it on America right now.
Well, Dr. Lake, looking at this, and again, I was talking with my wife and I said, I'm surprised at the groups who are embracing it and really putting people like Bernie Sanders on a pedestal. But I kind of understand why. I'm not understanding why there's no significant pushback from the conservatives as well as the Christians, and in particular the Christians, because of what you just said. I mean, socialism to communism to Luciferianism, it's a very short, expedient hop. But we're seeing putting Sanders on the pedestal, and to a lesser extent in terms of its visceral nature, Hillary Clinton. Reading today, Sanders supporters just extremely, I mean, they're seething. I think that was the word used on the Drudge Report today because of Clinton's nomination. I do expect blowback from this. Now, I guess I'm kind of all over the board here, but
you can't preach revolution without it getting messy.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think the Democratic Convention this year could be really messy.
You know, messier than the Republican, do you think, the convention? Because of Trump himself. I mean, we know that Black Lives Matter and Soros has backed. I mean, he's purchased many blocks of hotel rooms, he or his proxies have, in the Cleveland area, even all the way down through Akron, Canton area, and into Northeast Ohio, Ashley Beulah to on the east side to many miles west as well. So I'm looking at some explosive things that be happening at the Republican convention outside anyway.
Yeah, outside. I think of the Democratic convention, it could be inside, because you're right. Going to have a lot of delegates that are diehard socialists that are not going to be satisfied with anything but their man being the candidate. So it's going to be really interesting.
Yeah, to say the least. Definitely interesting. Okay. Well, in terms of the larger picture here, a view from cruising altitude, we've got, we've got Trump versus Clinton, but we don't know that. I mean, I guess, stepping back, do you see that as the end result on both sides? Trump on the right, or on the Republican, and Clinton on the Democratic, or do you think it's too early yet to tell?
I think it's too early to tell on the Democratic side. That's what I mean. It could get revolutionary at the Democratic Party. But you know, with what I'm looking at here, and even listening to the, I have never heard so many prophets be so divided. You've got some prophesying that that Ted Cruz was supposed to be president. You got some prophesying that another was supposed to be president, or Donald Trump, or Hillary Clinton, or that Obama's really not going to get out of the White House, and so we're going to have two presidents. We're going to have Hillary Clinton and Obama in the White House at the same time. And I'm thinking, golly, guys, heaven is not speaking all these things. And so I kind of, you know, sometimes I feel like the little old lady that was prophesying one time in church, and she said, "These are hard times, saith the Lord. These are tough times, saith the Lord. These times even scareth me, saith the Lord," you know.
Oh my! Well, yeah. I mean, in your life, during the course of your life, is there any other time in your life that you could remember a time such as this, with a political landscape and the social turmoil and all of this? I mean, or is this is this different?
This is different. Of course, you know, back in the '60s, I was born in 1960, so I was little then. But going back and just looking at the turmoil we had, there was a lot of turmoil, but I don't think to the extent that it is now. And I think that they have done an outstanding job of taking over our universities, where we're no longer taught Constitution, we're no longer taught even decent morality. That they're taught just the opposite. Woodrow Wilson, when he was the president of Princeton, said our job is to make sure that our graduates turn out nothing like their fathers. And that has been a progressive mindset from the very beginning.
Interesting.
Dr. Lake, back to what you talked about with the violence against the Trump supporters, the anti-Trump protests. Let's say he emerges as the nominee from the convention, and we'll say that the problems from the crowds and the protesters are kept to a minimum. But this attitude we see towards Trump as he goes from city to city, and as my dad pointed out just recently, we see the politicians are getting involved. I think the mayor of South Carolina commented, and also the governor of South Carolina and the mayor of San Jose, and now we have journalists calling for violence against Trump. Can you see this snowballing to a point where the election of Trump itself turns into a national emergency, in a sense delaying the elections?
There's a possibility of that. I don't know necessarily if the people would tolerate that. One of the things that I am seeing is anyone connected to the elite in any way, their buttons are being pushed because he's not playing their game. And, you know, I don't agree with everything that he says. I don't agree with some of his tactics. But one thing for sure is in the midst of all this, everybody's kind of showing who they are, aren't they?
Very much so. Thank you for saying that. And before I forget, Dr. Lake, this really kind of gets it is a hot button issue for me. And you can either address it now or later on, but I get a lot of email and even regular mail, people saying, well, really, we shouldn't really be that tied up mentally or spend that much energy in really caring about who the next president might be of the United States. I mean, I understand where they're coming from, where people are coming from. Basically, I'm often accused of being too earthly minded as opposed to heavenly minded. And it goes right along with people saying, well, I'm going to vote for Jesus in this election. Now, last I checked, Dr. Lake, and I'm not trying to be flippant here, or maybe I am, I didn't see his name on the ballot. But I understand the sentiment behind this, but I don't agree with it. Can you address this? Because are we not appointed to be, although we're not appointed to be of the world, so to speak, we're still living in the world, so we've got to be active. Christians have to be. Don't Christians have to take up the mantle and run through the gauntlet? And aren't we appointed to do that?
We are. You know, if we're not, and one of the things that's happening, you know, Christianity is under such attack today, but it's a fulfillment of Jesus' words. Jesus said, "You're supposed to be salt. You're supposed to be the preserving agent within society." And the moment that you quit doing that, the world has the right to trample you underfoot. And part of the reason that we are in this predicament today is so many of us were playing church and not really paying attention to what was going on as a nation, not paying attention to what was going on, what our children were being taught, what universities were teaching. And because we weren't paying attention and having a voice, look at what they've done. And they've done it at the absence of our voice.
Thank you for saying that. I agree with that. I mean, a vacuum is created when Christians are not responsive or they're not playing their position. A vacuum is created, to me, at least that's the way it feels to me. So
it is. Yeah. If any time that you dim light, darkness takes over. And you know, where were the riots in America when we had a Masonically based Supreme Court take prayer out of school and all these different things that said you could no longer read the Word of God in the school? Where were the Christians saying, I don't think we're going to tolerate that? But we sat back, we held our peace, and as long as we hold our peace, they keep taking more and more and more away. And yet it's our job to be light and salt in the earth. But when that light refuses to shine, we have to be involved in what goes on in our communities. We have to be involved in speaking into the morality of a nation. If we don't, we abdicate that right and give it to the other kingdom. And because of that, we are where we are right now. In fact, it's getting to the place, guys, in much of ministry, the cultural agenda is now transforming ministry instead of the ministry transforming the culture.
Wow. That's a heavy statement.
Very well said. And it's unfortunate that the lukewarm, the majority of churches have conformed to the world instead of being the light that you just described. I heard it said, I think from a Jonathan Cahn speech, that you know, light does not conform to darkness. Instead, everything conforms to light, and that we need to be the light that Christ set as an example for us to be. Yeah. And if the church is not being the example, and in fact setting the opposite example, this is why we see the falling away that we do. And I don't believe until the Lord pours out his spirit upon all that we will see a true revival of these churches and the lukewarm congregants.
Well, let me share this with you. This is a theological, sociological conundrum, okay? Does America need to be judged? Yes.
Yes.
America needs to be judged. But when you pull in everything that I share in the Shiner Directive, the elite, they knew that they could not pull down America. They couldn't take it down because God's hand was on it. And so what they had to do, you know, they want to get rid of the Constitution. They also want to get rid of the hand of protection of Almighty God on the United States of America. And so the only way to do that, it's the doctrine of Balaam. You get them to the place where God curses them because they have broken covenant. They have become so immoral that the Almighty must act. But here's the conundrum that I'm looking at. They have done this slowly over 100 years. You know, I document in the book where they have contaminated our seminaries. They have contaminated our schools. Kids, you know, even college graduates are only taught enough to make them feel like they have learned without really teaching them anything at all. That's why when they graduate, they're not ready. All of this was done on purpose. They have funded ministries. Listen to me. They have funded ministries that then became the prototype that everybody else began to follow. I think it was on your show, if I'm remembering right. It was either you or True News, where, his name just left me. He published the Babylon Code.
Paul McGuire.
Paul McGuire was sharing that when a major Christian college, when they began teaching how to do the mega church stuff, they brought in New Age gurus to teach these seminarians.
Yeah.
And so they have positioned us. They have created and caused to prosper the prophets of Baal, while the Elijahs and those that are faithful have been starving out. And so here's my question. I guess there's a premise there, because one of the things that your show is doing, and one of the things that we're trying to do with the Kingdom Intelligence Briefing, is to wake up the remnant, get the remnant praying, get the remnant to repenting, and get the remnant to begin asking forgiveness of the occult sins that have empowered all these things. If we do our job right, can God not judge the elite that perpetrated this crime against our nation while setting the remnant free?
Absolutely, he can.
And I think that's one of the reasons right now our prophets are all over the place, because there's so much in flux. I want the judgment of God to land on the puppeteers, not on the people connected to the strings. Because sometimes the people on the strings need to have those strings cut so they have a choice, and either they're going to choose the way of God or run back into darkness, then they can be judged. But there has to be a supernatural, spiritual inflection point in this struggle to where the mind control is broken, the financial manipulation is broken, that everybody is shown for exactly who they are. And I think that's kind of being done right now to a certain degree.
So yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I think you're absolutely correct. I think exposure is happening at a rate that perhaps the puppeteers, the elite, the power behind the curtain, the men behind the curtain, women behind the curtain, hadn't expected. And it's creating I think we can see it manifest in things like the movement, the Trump movement, not Trump himself, but what we're seeing the result of his candidacy and his speeches and all they want to keep this stuff hidden, but it's being shown.
Yeah, and I think the one thing that is contagious about him is he doesn't filter his agenda and hide it with politically correct rhetoric. He just tells you what he thinks. And there's a lot of people that are kind of finding that refreshing.
Yeah. I agree. No, let me just kind of play devil's advocate just for a second here. Dr. Lake, in your professional insight and assessment, is it possible that and I don't know how many people have really addressed this topic, but here were people, including conservatives, true conservatives, capital C, Christians, they're looking for a change, and they're putting a lot of hope in one man, and they're looking for change to come from the top down as opposed to from the bottom up. Is it possible that we could, even with a Trump win in the White House, and even with some key people being put in the positions of decision, where they could, well, Trump, by virtue of himself, he could make some Supreme Court appointments, and I mean, a lot of things will be affected by this election. Is it possible, however, that things could go too far to the other side, being the antithesis of, well, too far to the other side to the extent where people might say, wait a minute, I mean,
number one, we don't trust the man. You know, we have been fed this, that if we can, just get the right man in, that things would be better. When things get better, when on a grassroots movement, people begin turning to God and to begin praying, and it becomes such a force that those that are in power have to yield to it.
Very well said. Okay.
And so,
and I think, yeah, we got to keep that in mind. I mean, people have to understand that. first and foremost, I suppose.
What they want is, well, just let this guy, and then we can sit back and go back to sleep. You go back to sleep, we're going to wake up, we're going to be worse off than we were when you went to sleep. You know, wake up, engage in the kingdom, and keep being a voice for truth. And so abide in the truth that when anyone, well, I don't care if it's Donald Trump, I don't care if it's Hillary Clinton or anyone else, no matter what they're speaking, that you have this internal lie detector going on, that you can tell it's not lining up with the kingdom and they're not being forthright about their true agenda. And man, if we would have that go on and discernment in the body of Christ, where we begin calling out what's really going on, that's what's going to transform politics.
Amen. Very well said. So sometimes I think, I don't know, that citing from that movie They Live, it was a 1970s cult favorite where a pair of sunglasses were used to see the real people behind the skin suits, if you will. I don't know how many people saw that, but I think, Dr. Lake, that we need the spiritual discernment glasses passed out to all the Christians in particular to see, you know, what's behind the facade, what's behind the...
Yeah. I remember the first time I was on your show, we were talking about the book, and I spoke about mind control and just that we need to plead the blood of Jesus between our eyes and what we see and our ears and what we hear, especially with television. And I remember making the statement, once you do that, after a while, you're going to start yelling at the news because you know they're lying. And the guy wouldn't believe how many guys, you know, I've had so many emails that thought, I thought you were crazy when you said that. But, you know, the Holy Spirit said, well, go ahead and do it. And you know, it's been 2 weeks now, and now I'm yelling at my TV.
Yeah, it's easy to do. I mean, it's...
Because you see through their manipulation and their psychobabble, and you know, lying.
Yeah, it even more today. I mean, and I came of age during the Walter Cronkite era of news reporting, as you did. I mean, we're not that far off in age. I might have a little bit on you, but anyway, you're better looking than I am. So. I remember back then, even my parents, you know, you listened to Walter Cronkite, and of course he was the man, you know, the man giving you the news. That's the way it is. And people would believe that. But now today, the newscast, now there's more cynicism, I believe, with the mainstream newscast, which is good, but yet they seem to be doubling down. Don't they? I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, they're just doubling down on their rhetoric.
That's how they get their paychecks. You either follow this line or you're out.
Right.
And you don't get very far in the traditional news media unless you toe the line. And so that's really their only choice. Of course, I think a lot of them have been in it so long, they've been drinking the Kool-Aid so long, they will actually believe what's on the monitor.
No, that's true. It's, and as you point out as well in many of your your teachings, and then folks, go to kingdomintelligencebriefing.com. Please visit the site, and folks, if you haven't already, and I'm really going to push the book The Shinar Directive. I really believe everyone needs to grab a hold of The Shinar Directive and really read it and understand it, because what I see, I mean, you've got the blueprints of today being founded, germinated, originated, I don't know, back on the plains of Shinar, back in Babylon, and we're seeing the same, I don't know, the same players, the same spirit of players today at work.
It's mystery Babylon. It's contaminated the church. It controls politics. It controls finances. And the only thing that ever pushes mystery Babylon back is the kingdom of God.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
And you know, let's let you know. We ask, you know, should we get involved in politics? This, you know, look at in Israel, because we have that type and shadow in the Old Testament, the Word of God. Now the you had the king's, you know, the king's palace, and you also had the temple. And isn't that where the prophets spoke? You know, they went up and, in yes. fact, Jeremiah, I mean, he was so popular that they forbid him to go into the temple and prophesy anymore. And so he had to have his secondhand guy go in and read his prophecies, and they got so mad that they would then burn the scrolls after the guy read them.
Mm.
But yet those things came to pass. God has a right to speak into a society, especially one that at its founding said it was in covenant with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God remembers. And we can even take it back before that. I've got documents in my library when the original pilgrims came over. They dedicated this land to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and even went as far as to say that the law of Moses would be the law of the land.
Yes.
And so, you know, the elite love to use the principle of first one in sets the stage. Well, Jack, we were the first ones in, and we set the stage. You came in and usurped on top of that. You were the tear to God's wheat that he was trying to plant. And you can go back to almost every, the persecution of the American Indian, well, many of them will go back to Masonic schemes in America. And while the Christians were trying to lead them to the Lord, it was those in the secret societies that were driving them out of their own land and trying to commit genocide. And heaven remembers all that. The blood is still crying out. The blood is still crying out today of every child that is sacrificed in the name of convenience in America. It's crying out for God to judge the ones who put it into place.
And that judgment will take place. It will happen. I just love these kinds of discussions, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, truly an intellectual and spiritual discussion about current events. And I think this is, I'm so excited to have Dr. Lake on our program tonight. I really am.
Absolutely.
It's to me, this is just such an honor.
I'd like to, if we can, maybe we can do it in the next hour, but getting into the Sharif imperative a little bit, talking about, you have a chapter in the Sharif imperative talking about the fuel behind the kingdom of darkness. I'd like to talk to you, Dr. Lake, about the kingdom of darkness and the ways that we're seeing the kingdom of darkness encompass our current world, today, to the point where what we talked about earlier, we even have churches, ministries, pastors, congregants conforming to this kingdom of darkness, knowingly and unknowingly.
What are they doing? I mean, sorry to interrupt you, Joe. But Dr. Lake, I mean, we are seeing, to me, has this happened before to the church in general, where they seem to be intoxicated, or I don't even know how to describe it, but it's this perversion.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. When you read in Malachi, and Malachi is an interesting chapter, because I love to go into that book and just preach some solid meat. But God judged the Levitical order. That's one of the reasons why we had the rabbinical movement and actually opened up, because Jesus wasn't of the tribe of Levi, he was of the tribe of Judah. And because God judged the Levites, and when you really understand what was going on in Malachi, God dressed them down. And he said, now, you know, in your mouth, he said, the law of truth was in his mouth, talking about Levi, and iniquity was not found in him. He walked with me in peace and iniquity, and did not turn away from and turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they that seek the law, they should seek the law in his mouth. For he is a messenger of the Lord of hosts. In other words, the true knowledge of God should be what you're expressing to the people. And what the Levites did, they quit teaching the people what they needed to hear, and they started teaching them what they wanted to hear. And we have a lot of ministries now, instead of hitting their knees and getting to the place to where the presence of God is on fire on the inside of you, and you know that God has spoken, and it doesn't matter what it costs you, there is a fire burning on the inside of you. It's like fire shut up in your bones that you've got to speak. Instead of doing that, they're looking at demographics.
to see what the people want to hear and what's popular. And, you know, when I preached this, the offerings went up, or when I preached this, the attendance went up. I remember Jesus preached a sermon and everybody walked away from him but 12. That's my role model. Is if I make everybody mad but the remnant, then I've done my job.
Amen. As unpopular as that might be, and you're right, it seems like there's this, we see it in the prosperity movement, we see it in the basically anything goes, and of course, you know, it's always the bottom line with or not always, but it seems like it's the bottom line that many churches, in quotation marks, are looking at. It's attendance, it's offerings, it's...
Yeah. And guys,
go ahead.
So many pastors, and my hat's out for a lot of pastors, because you wouldn't believe. I remember back in the 90s when, you know, everything on the Christian TV stations and a lot of this stuff was beginning to come in force on that. And you wouldn't believe the demands the sheep made on the pastors to turn it into what they saw on TV.
Wow.
Pastors were removed from office because they wouldn't do, you know, the music needs to be this way. You need to preach this kind of sermon. You need to do this. And my hats are off to the guys that refused to bow, because guys, we're entering into a time. There are pastors out there, and some of you may be listening to me right now, and you used to have 400, 500, 600, 700 people. And because you refused to compromise, you went down to 80. You're about to enter into a period of time, gentlemen, that you're not going to be able to build fast enough, because the remnant will only be satisfied with truth. And the remnant are waking up. And it's the pastors who are faithful that they're going to hunt down and want to be a part of.
Wow. That is, so you're painting a picture of not just hope, but of true salvation here.
Absolutely. I think a lot of the circus that we have called churches on the verge of dying, and they don't even know it yet. They're going to increase the hype, but there are so many people that are waking up, say, don't give me hyper grace, give me balanced grace. Give me the word. Tell me about sin so that I can avoid it. Tell me what God really wants in my life. How do I go from just going to church once a week on the weekend to absolutely being transformed by the power of God? I did a message here not too long ago on the five aspects of grace. And most people are still playing out in God's kiddie pool of unmerited favor, and that's just the beginning of grace. And there's so much more to it that we need to get into. That God wants to assist. You know, there's saving grace. There is transforming grace. There's empowering grace. And then there's enduring grace. And let me tell you something. In the times that we're getting ready to head into, you better have that enduring level of grace operating in your life.
Amen. How do we achieve enduring grace? We've got about 90 seconds left here, but is it through prayer, repentance, and fasting? I mean, or immersion in the Word, or all of the above? I mean,
all the above. I think we got to start out to cry, God, make sure that I'm saved. I want that saving grace to take hold. And then the next level of grace is transforming grace. And I think we have to begin crying out for the transforming power of God. We need to go from Abram to Abraham. And there's this transformational thing of when we really walk with God, God begins to work on us and transform us into who we can be only through Him. That's what we need in this hour.
Got it.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Dr. Lake, we are at the top of the hour break. Folks, go to Dr. Michael Lake's website, KingdomIntelligenceBriefing.com. That's KingdomIntelligenceBriefing.com. Subscribe to his email blog. Check out the teachings that he has on there. Grab his book, The Shinar Directive. And coming soon, The Sharif Imperative, a book my dad wrote the foreword to. And that will be released here in the fall. And on his website, you have the chapters and the breakdown of what the book is about. Looks like it's very interesting. We will be right back with Dr. Michael Lake on the other side of this Tuesday edition. Stay with us.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.